Good morning, everyone. Thank you so very much for joining us today for this period of biblical study together. On this Sunday morning, either at the 8 o'clock time or the 10 o'clock time on another station here in the area of Batesville, thank you for joining us for our period of Bible study today. You know, my friends, there are a lot of things about the Bible that I do not know and I do not have not yet studied and everything, but there are things in the Bible that I have studied in detail. And I want to note to you today that I am not the personal judge of anybody. I have not the authority to do that. In John chapter 5 and at verse 23, it is said, "The Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son." If He's committed all judgment to the Son, how much is left for you and for me to have? If we make a judgment on somebody and assure people that they're going to heaven, they're going otherwise, and so forth, so on, then we just have not reading the Scripture correctly. For God judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son. That's what He plainly said through John in John 5. It is noteworthy for you and me that we find the teaching of God about His wonderful grace. In reference to this matter, we read, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and denying worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." How are we supposed to live in this present world? Soberly, without drunkenness, righteously, always seeking to do what is right with God, and right with our lives, and finding ourselves doing that, we are people who are ready then for the last thing of noting, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and denying worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's how for us to live. Are we living that way? Think about the wonderful grace of God that He has offered to mankind. I'm reminded that ancient Moses was one who was not allowed to go into the promised land. Because of the sin that he had done, because of the wickedness that he had, not given credit to God, took credit for himself, he was told he could not go into that promised land. However, in sometimes in the untold stories of the Old Testament, Moses made things right with God. And in Matthew chapter 17, we read of the trip that they took up to the Mount of Transfiguration. When Peter, Andrew, and John went with Jesus up that way, they saw there before their eyes, they saw Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And notice that He is there on that scene. Notice that He is praiseworthy for being on that scene because He was rejected in the Old Testament for going into the promised land, but somehow the wonderful grace and goodness of God and favor of God was extended to him. Now let me quickly admit to you that that's a decision on God's part. That's not a decision on my part. It's not a decision on Moses' part. It was a decision on God's part. And as a result of that, God allowed him to be there on that Mount of Transfiguration. And it was the one who misunderstood the whole purpose of this. We're glad that we're here. We'll make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. When the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my Son, hear ye him." Jesus said nothing about making tabernacles of worship for the others. He talked about himself and his righteous way before God in that way. That was the right thing for Jesus to teach, and there's the right thing for them to practice. And if today we're not found ourselves in faithful fellowship with him, then we are under the hand of God's judgment. And I want to tell everybody not to do that, not to be people who worship something else. Remember that in Acts chapter 4 and at verse 12, there is salvation in none other. there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's not another name than the name of Jesus Himself for our salvation. And if we find ourselves not honoring His will and not following His way, and we depend upon the fact that the grace of God will reach down to us and we'll be okay at that last day, we're making a decision for God on that part. If God makes that decision, that's well and good. I'm not going to oppose anything that God does for His decision-making power. At the same time, if we are people who are to obey the Lord, we understand what it means to obey the Lord, and we do obey the Lord, we'll find ourselves in the wonderful blessings of the grace of God, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The Lord taught us to do that, and if we live that way and do that, we'll find ourselves in wonderful blessings of God. If we find ourselves depending upon that grace because we missed something area, we missed a worldly area, and we lived in a worldly deeds of life, and we've gone that way and gone that route over and over and over again, but we're depending upon the wonderful grace of God to lead us home to heaven, will it do that? Will that be okay? Will we be like Moses back there who was forgiven and who was found a way to be there at Mount Transfiguration when he was denied entrance into the Promised Land? Can we say that that's what God's going to do? Could Moses have said that that's what God was going to do? How about that? Do we find ourselves in the grace of God in that occasion, or will we not find ourselves in the grace of God? If we don't find ourselves in God's grace, we'll be really in trouble and difficulty in later life. We'll find ourselves not ready for the judgment day, and the judgment day being passed, we'll find ourselves rejected of Him at that last day. Paul writes about that in 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 10, when he says, "We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according to that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord," he said, "we persuade men." The Lord has a terror side to Him. He has a side of obedience that He wants us to follow. If we get in business and find ourselves in seeking that way and obeying His will, and then we make amends to our heart, telling ourselves that God's grace, though, will reach us. It will reach us and forgive us, and we'll still be right on His side. We'll still be at His right hand. We'll still be taken over into glory land. We're saying that, but do we hear God saying that about His grace? Now, we see some things about it, as we noted about Moses and his day of Mount Transfiguration there in Matthew 17. But do we say that that's Moses' decision, that God was going to do it? Or was it, in fact, God's decision-making at that time? Let me ask of you, what are you depending upon? Are you depending upon the wonderful grace of God and obedience to your Father's will? Are you depending upon the wonderful grace of God and not obeying His will? In Hebrews chapter 5 at verses 8 and 9, it tells us, "Though he were a son," talking of Jesus, "yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, complete, he offered eternal reward to those that obey him." Did he say those that disobey him, he offers them a wonderful reward? No, he didn't. He said to those that obey him. Notice what he said about Jesus in that regard. "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him." Notice that we find a blessing if we obey the Lord. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. I want to say that that's the way we ought to do. When I teach people that they need to repent and be baptized like the people did on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, I want to tell them that there is no other way for them to find that salvation that's been offered, freedom from sin and a new way of life. When Paul wrote about that new way of life in Romans chapter 6, he says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were buried with him by baptism into his death? And that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also are raised to walk in newness of life. What if we deny walking in that newness of life? We just reject it. People don't like it and people don't talk about it well with us, and we just don't follow that way. Well, can we say that the Lord is still going to bless us? We could say that, but that doesn't mean the Lord is obligated to do that. His grace is that which saves mankind. He reaches out to mankind with a great loving heart and a disposition of love. When we find ourselves in life not reaching up to Him in love and obedience to His will, can we say that we have the same blessing as if we were in listening to Him and disobedient to His will? Can we say that that's the right thing to do? I would not teach that that's the right thing to do. I have not taught that's the right thing to do. And on this broadcast, we've talked about various things of obeying the Lord and following His way and being His person. Notice what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and at verse 12. Be thou an example to the believer. Be a tupas to the believer. Be that tupas in which, if when people come into your contact, they let a little bit of you and your life rub off on them. Let a little bit of that be the way that they do. And when he talked about that, he said to them, let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believer. Be a tupas to the believer. In words that you say, in your conversation, in your manner of life that you lead, in your love that you have, the agape love of God, in the spirit that you have of life, in the faith that you have by doing the things that you do in life, and in purity, be that kind of person in life. Now let me apply that today to an area that we have often in our world in which we live. We have neighbors next door, and we want to be good examples to neighbors, of course. And they may presume something about us, but when we are not as pure as we ought to be and not as honest as we ought to be and so forth, but they may check us out and they want to go to a certain party or a certain event and they want to have their little child to stay with us. Come over to our house and stay there during that couple of 3 hours of time that they have that party, and knowing that they will be in good hands, thinking that they will be in good hands. Well, what about in life if, in fact, we're not examples for the Lord as we ought to be? Let's look back here at 1 Timothy 4 and at 12 and make that application. What if we find in the words that we say, words of vulgar nature and profane, and we say that in front of those little children, and they go home and repeat what we may have said, will it be a good situation that has happened? What if we find ourselves in a manner of life, the way of life that we do, we drive them somewhere for something in a car, but we break the speed limit, we roughly treat them when they ask us about why we're riding so fast and why we're doing this, and we rough to them, if our manner of life is not pure and kind and good-hearted and loving and patient, do you think that they'll tell their parents about what we did when we went to the store while they were gone? What about the next thing? The agape love, the godlike love, the love that is not based upon what people do as they do these things in front of you, but based upon what you want to do with them. You want to love them and care about them as Jesus loved us and gave Himself for us. As God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. In John 3 at verse 16. This verse of Scripture tells us that this kind of love, this agape love, is the kind of love that we ought to have. And it's the love to be an example to the believers in. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. He goes on to say, and be an example in your spirit of life, in your ego of life, in the way that you do things, in the way that you go into things in hope and in reality. And let them be examples that they see in your life as the Spirit is a part of your life. And faith. As the faith that you have, the belief that you have that things are good and things are righteous when we do good, God's will. And all the way along as we do that, we give that experience to them that as you serve God, you want to have faith in the checks that you write and in the good offerings that you give and the good hope that you have for the people who are in need. You want to be a good person in that way and have faith in the things that you do. And then in purity, they may have to go to the bathroom while they're with you and visiting in your home. Do you want to take advantage of them and be impure in your mannerisms toward them? Do you want to be a person who doesn't help but shows off, is a bad illustration and bad influence, and you're not pure in your words nor pure in your conduct? Are those people going to trust you very much later on when they come back and they hear all that was been done? And these things that He said do righteously and godly in this present world, these are the things that you did not do. And as a result, these little children will talk to their parents about what happened while they were gone to their party or their event. And they'll talk about you. And if they talk about the purity of your life, if they talk about the faith that you talked about God, if they talk about the way of life that your spirit and your zeal in life to live life and go with life and that sort of thing, if they talk about your love in life that you had, the kind of love that you showed to them, the kind of godlike love that you showed to them, the kind of way of life that you were, the conversation of life that you were involved in, and finally, the kind of words that you used while they were gone from them. Will that not be a better day than all the other reverse things that can come about? Yeah, we're talking about a way of life that Paul wrote to Timothy, be an example to the believer in this way. This is the way for you to live and do. Now, what if we don't live that way and do those things? Well, I've got God's grace, somebody says. I've got that wonderful grace of God, and it's going to reach down, and it's going to spare me any kind of punishment. I'm going to be in heaven itself. I'm going to be there for sure because I trusted God to forgive me. Well, who's trusting? I'm trusting. But what about that person I'm trusting? Is it God's will being said? Is it God's will that will be done? Someone can't go back and call upon God to say, your grace is going to save me, when it says the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's the way for us to live. That's the way for us to behave. And we at the Crockett Church of Christ hear that type of preaching and that type of teaching, and we expect our visiting preachers to come and preach that sort of thing over and over again to us, reminding us that this is the right thing to do, and this is the teaching of God's grace to our lives. But if we conclude that the grace of God is going to reach down anyway, it's going to spare us anyway, it's going to bless us anyway, whether I obey Him or disobey Him, Are we not rewriting the book of books, the Bible, to tell us that we're blessed regardless of what we do? When our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. If there are few that find that way, do I not want to be on that path of following the way of God and the way Jesus said there in Matthew 7? Virtually at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, He tells them this is God's expectation for your life. He tells them to strive, make your best effort at entering in at the straight gate and walking the narrow way that leads unto life. Because He tells us that broad gate, that wide gate and broad way leads unto death, leads unto destruction. Oh, my friends, we may have the idea of God's grace and define it for ourselves, but let me ask of you, have you the approval of God in His Word that the way that you live and behave and do that's disobedient to what He's plainly said is still going to find the blessing of God regardless of our disobedience? Moses was a wonderful man in the Old Testament. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a man loved by God. And when God, I believe with tears in His heart, said, Moses, you can't go into this promised land. And here's the reason for it. You did not honor me among the people. When you offered them this water, shall we get you rebels water? You took credit for it rather than give credit to me for what they had. You cannot, therefore, go into the promised land. Moses wanted to go in that promised land. He wanted to see all that land that flowed with milk and honey. He wanted to be there, but he was not allowed to go. Somewhere along the way, Moses thought about what he had done. I'm sure that Moses talked with the Lord about what he had done. And somewhere along the way, he had the wonderful grace of God to reach out to him and allow him to be there with Elijah, Peter, Andrew, John on that Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus in Matthew chapter 17. I'm glad he was there. I would not oppose him from being there. I would not oppose it at all. At the same time, was it Moses' decision to make, or was it God's decision that was now made? The wonderful grace of God that brings salvation, Paul wrote to Titus, has appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust, and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Notice the two negative things that he said. He said the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust. And then the positive things. And to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We know what sobriety is. We know what godliness is, and we know exactly what the Lord said here that He wants to have done. If we find ourselves following that way, we'll be blessed of the Lord. That's the promise that He's given. That's the assurance that He's given. And we trust in Him for that. From the heart, be obedient to the Lord. Be that kind of person who follows His way and do not decide for Him that no matter how I've disobeyed You, Lord, I know I'm still within the wonderful benefits of your saving grace. In churches around, we have a lot of teaching that goes on. A lot of living that goes on, a lot of profanity that may be offered by some in their ways of life. Instead of a godly way of life, it's a profane way of life that's done. And sure, in that way, we cannot find ourselves in joy that God is going to bless us eternally. We're talking this week about all of these lessons before that we've presented. How obedience has been a hallmark teaching of them. And today I'm saying that Moses didn't obey God. He wasn't allowed to enter in the promised land. But he was forgiven of God enough that he was there on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. He was there with Jesus on that day. I'm so glad that he was. But that's God's decision to make and not my decision to make for him. Come and be with us at the Crockett Church of Christ, located at 7458 Highway 4 West, Senatobia, Mississippi, 38668. Be a part of the service with us today if you can. We meet at 9:30 for Bible study classes and 10:30 for the preaching service and 6 o'clock this evening for the preaching service as well as the Lord's Supper for those that did not have the opportunity to be here on Sunday morning. We invite you to come and be a part of the service with us and be a part of this way of life that we're talking about here today, a way of life that is wonderfully blessed by the grace of God, at the same time, obedient to His teaching for sure. Thank you for your time today. This is Robert Rawson.